and worship time. Oh, praise the Lord. Ha ha. Come on, take your morning medicine right now. Turn to your neighbor and just give him a little chuckle. Say, you look funny today. Tell him you look quite humorous today. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, you could use a little more medicine. Come on. Oh, wow. Oh, Shanda Bandeka. Oh. Oh, Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is many things, but the Holy Spirit is not serious. You know, sometimes we have to, your view of God is how you are manifesting right now. How you are living your life right now is a reflection of your view of God. If you have a serious view of God, you're manifesting a serious view of God. If you think God is a God of wrath, you're manifesting wrath towards others, and it comes out of your own view of His wrath towards you. It's, of course, not my God. I tried that God for many years, and it was not who He was. My view of the Holy Spirit was that He was always easily grieved. I was tiptoeing around trying to please Him, make sure I kept the straight and narrow line of character, morality, saying the right thing, doing the right thing, always trying to be the right, so I would not, He would not leave because He was so easily gone. One day the Lord said, I want to show you who I really am as the Holy Spirit. He showed me Himself just laughing His head off at me. Do you picture the Holy Spirit just laughing at you? Laughing, the most fun person in the world. The kingdom of God's not talk. It's not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not a concept. The kingdom of God is a person. It's Jesus. And Jesus' Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's not like Jesus is up there, the Father's up there, and you've got some little wispy thing inside of you that's an option. You can take or leave. God is not human. Who you have inside of you is the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit is not some little thing that when you're going to go see the real thing someday. The Holy Spirit is God. God is with us. Christ in us. The Spirit of Christ in us. The hope of glory. That word hope is expectation and excitement that good is coming out. Christ in you, the excitement. The hope that good's going to come out of you, that you're going to manifest who He is. You manifest who you see. Being in the kingdom of God is not about work and toil, it's about revelation. As you behold Him, you are, you know, changed into His image. It's not like you're progressively becoming better because you're amazing at the start. You're everything. You have everything at the start. It's like your eyes have to open to see more and more of the glory that's already in you. And the more you see of Him, you will automatically manifest it. Whenever I see God as loving and kind and patient, takes Him a good 400 years to get mad, Whenever I see that in him, it automatically manifests through me. I become more patient. It's not that the patient one wasn't in me already, but I didn't have a revelation of it. So I begin to manifest that love because I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So as I get a revelation of, oh man, whoa. I've been mulling over, meditating over the transfiguration of Jesus when he took his disciples up to the mountain and he was transfigured before them and became complete light. That same Jesus is inside of me. The same light and glory is inside of me. In human form, in my body again. He was walking the earth through Jesus, now he's walking the earth through Keith. If you've seen Keith, you've seen Christ. As you're looking into my eyes, you're not looking into my eyes, you're looking into the eyes of fire. It's the fire of ultimate love. Out of his throne is this blazing fire. Comes out from within him. Song of Solomon 8:6 says, his love is like a consuming fire. Many waters cannot quench this love. Many rivers cannot wash it away. This fire is flowing outside of you. This unstoppable river of love is flowing outside of you. And when you look into someone's eyes, they should get an encounter with Jesus. They should be looking in the eyes of perfect love, perfect patience and care. That's how you can prophesy over someone, because the one inside of you is their dad and knows everything about them. You can tap into revelation that you have no idea about, because you can see right down into their heart and see all the gold inside them, see such love for them. That's why I can't hate anybody anymore. I can't be prejudiced anymore. I can't have issues with people anymore, because when I'm having an issue with that person, I'm having an issue with the son of, or the daughter of the dad that's inside of me. I can't look. In Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, rich nor poor, slave nor free. We are one in Christ. The same Spirit of God, the same Spirit of deity is inside of you that's in me. The same Jesus. That's why when I'm having a hard time with you, there is a grieving of the manifestation of his presence. That's why warfare is always relational. The enemy wants to get conflict going on relationally because he can steal the glory. Why it says in Peter, don't be angry with your wife to hinder your prayers. Don't hinder your prayers. When we get to the level on the mountain of unity, which Christ already brought us into perfect unity, we're not trying to have unity, we already have it. But when we begin to manifest unity, which comes from a revelation of perfect love for one another, the enemy will have no more place. Because the enemy operates through the church. The accuser of the brethren illegally operates outside. He's already been defeated. He's already been disarmed. The principalities and powers have already been cast down. He's totally annihilated. But if we don't walk in the revelation of the God inside of us, then we give place to the one that's already been defeated. The God inside of us is perfectly joyful. The fruit of having the Spirit of God inside of you is joy. It's not an effort. It's not a work. It's not something you have to try. What happens when you plant an orange seed into the ground? You get oranges. The seed of God, deity, King of kings, majesty, Lord of lords, was put into you. The fruit of having him in your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, power, on and on and on. The fruit, the result of what he did, it was by grace. You were saved, you were healed, you were made whole, and now all of him is inside of you just wanting out. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. You're fully equipped. The only reason you got preaching, says in Ephesians 4, the fivefold purpose is to release to you the revelation until the saints come to the fullness of Christ. Till you begin to operate in the fullness of Christ. He wants the saints to be manifesting God on this earth so that when people see you, they see God. When people see you, they experience the same power of God that was in Jesus. Wow. Jesus is walking the earth again. He's walking it through you. You don't get a miniature Holy Spirit if you're small. You get the fullness of God. We teach our children, you don't get a miniature Jesus. You can do the same thing we do. And they do it a lot easier because they don't have to sort through all the religious stuff that we grew up under that was still kind of tries to cripple us once in a while. Are we worthy? Are we not worthy? Are we good enough? Did we pray enough? Did we do enough? Our kids just do all the stuff and then they have a bad day. Because they just know it's just a part of things. Holy Spirit is joy. It says in Psalms that God laughs. My view of God was not the God of laughter. My view of God was that He's very serious. He sat on a stone, cold throne high above, and I'd come before Him hoping that I was having a good day and I wouldn't be lightning bolted. You can't have sustainable joy if you don't know God's pleased with you. I always wonder, will I really say well done? Will I get the approval of God? I hope in the end I've done enough. I've used all my talents and abilities for Him. Then in the end He says, well done. And He came to me and He said, son, I accepted you the day you gave your life to me at 4 years old. Why are you trying so hard for me? Matthew chapter 3 and 4, Jesus is, we know the whole passage, but the heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends, the Father declares over this Jesus who has never healed a sick person yet, never raised someone from the dead, never done one thing of manifesting His glory, you're my son, I'm so well pleased with you, that's my boy everybody, that's what the Father gives us at the start. I am well pleased with you. I'm happy with you. Why don't you enter into my joy right now? Why don't you live from approval, not for approval? I am the approved one. Daddy's so happy with me, and His joy is exuding out of me. He's so happy in me. You might just get healed if you start doing that a little bit. I was a seriously joy impaired pastor. I was so depressed and discouraged on a regular basis. Because of how inadequate I was, how difficult things were all around me, in my church. The finances, the people, the issues, the resistance, my unworthiness about myself. You cannot sustain joy with those kind of mindsets. You can have laughter in a meeting, but not sustain joy as a lifestyle. I'm not just interested in laughter in a meeting, although that's such a great release of His presence. I am interested in laughter and joy as a lifestyle, because if the Holy Spirit is joy, I want to learn how to live in that atmosphere. There's so many levels. The very culture of heaven is joy. There is no weeping and mourning in heaven. There is absolutely nothing. In His presence is fullness of joy, and His presence is not up there. Heaven is not up there. Heaven is inside of you. Joy is inside of you. If you want to see a harvest, you have to reap it with joy. If you're releasing tears, you're sowing it into the ground for a later date. But if you want to reap a harvest, you sow it with joy. I have a key for you, a kingdom key. You want to go from glory to glory? You want to go from harvest to harvest? Would you like to see some of your prophetic words take a little shorter than 20 years to come about? Some of the things God's promised you to come about a little quicker? It's the restoration of the tent of David that brings Amos 9:11. At the restoration of the tent of David, the plowman overtakes the reaper. You're planting in the ground, immediately reaping a harvest, planting harvest. As soon as you put in the gun, you've already had a harvest. You're just going from glory to glory, faith to faith. And what is the restoration of the tent of David? It's a revelation that Christ is in you, the presence of God is in you, and you can access Him at any time. And when you release joy, He inhabits the praises of His people. Praise is one of the foundational pieces of joy. Like I said, you can laugh, but if you don't have a lifestyle of praise, He inhabits. That word inhabit means to enthrone Himself on. Psalms 22. He lives on the praises of His people. God's throne is not wood, it's not gold, it's not this badge. His throne is praise. That's why there's 24-hour praise going on. And when you praise, you cultivate a lifestyle of praise, He manifests. I'm just going to give you just some little things about this. But listen, the culture of heaven is joy. It's not an effort to release joy because He is the God of joy. He is within you. That's why the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let God's joy keep coming out of you. Just don't resist it. Don't shut it down. Just let it freely flow out of you. Learn to reveal it. Deuteronomy 10 says, He is your praise. He is your praise. He's inside of you. He's the one that's praising. That word praise is halal. Or we get the word hallelujah. But you know what praise halal means? It's not glory, glory, hallelujah. That word halal is clamorously foolish, bonkers, raving mad. That's my rugby team. Whoa! Praise. He is your praise. Do you see your God like that? Or is He stoic, somber, serious, unmovable, unemotional? Shared it last night, but Zephaniah 3:17 says He rejoices over you with singing. The word rejoice is mirth, laughter, giddiness, joy. He laughs, He giggles, He mirths over you with singing. With that word singing is to dance around under the influence of a wild emotion. He rejoices and laughs and dances. Oh, ha, ha, my kids! Woo! I'm so pleased with you! Yeah! Woo! And He's waiting for you to get that same revelation, you to begin to dance over His children with singing. What is the dancing over children with singing all about? It's, oh, I'm so happy with you. I'm so pleased. I'm so like you. I'm so, oh, you made it in my image. Oh, I just can't get enough of you. You're manifesting the emotion of God. God is very emotional. He created emotions. He is joy. He is peace. Those are two emotions. The enemy would like to reduce your concept of joy down to stoic peace. Yes, I have an internal peace, brother. I'm a joyful person. So good to see you. God loves you. Bless you. I just want you to know God loves you so much. He's wild about you. He can hardly stand himself. The enemy comes to destroy, kill, steal. He's always working at degrading humanity, getting us to kill each other off, hate each other, be prejudiced toward each other, be angry, separating us through the parties, political differences, and nationality differences. He's always about dividing, getting us frustrated with one another. He's always about us getting just barely tolerating one another. Christ was all about the celebration of humanity. The love of humanity. The disciples, the religious, all keep the children away from God. Keep the children away from Jesus. Oh, let the children come to me. Oh, this is what the kingdom is made of. You want to enter into the kingdom? You got to be like a child. You got to have that childlikeness, that joy, that excitement. Oh, what's going to happen today, Daddy? God's a God of joy, and He's inside of you. Joy is an assault weapon from heaven. Your weapons are not weapons of this world. We've got to be serious about joy. It's not an option. Well, brother, I'm just not a very joyful person. It's not my personality. Well, it may not be your personality, but it's your persona. It's who heaven sees you are. It's who's inside of you. All you got to do is release Him. You no longer live. Joylessness no longer lives. Depression no longer lives. Worry no longer lives. Discouragement no longer lives. Self-pity no longer lives. All those things. Inadequacy no longer lives. All those things that steal joy no longer live. What lives is Christ in you. Christ and the Father are one. Oh, such approval. Oh, the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and then you and I are one as well. Says it in John. It says, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me, and you're going to be in me, and we're just going to have this one big love fest. Constant love, just flowing, a circle of love. Oh, one, we're one, and we're one with the body around us. Oh, we're one. We're celebrating one another. Celebrating, that's what honor means. Honor means to esteem, to value. The Bible says to honor everyone. That's a culture of honor. Honor everyone. Value everyone. It doesn't mean agree with everyone. Honor means value. And what do you value about that person? Honor is not honor until it's tangible. Oh yeah, I honor you. Well, what do you honor about me? Every person has the inheritance of Christ in them. Every person has gold, treasures, the blessings of heaven inside of them. What is it? You got to find it. And honor and esteem it and rejoice over it. Whoa! Because you know, as you're inhabiting, as you're rejoicing, as you're praising, He inhabits those praises. He comes into that relationship. God's all over love. Yeah. Love is praise. Love is praise. The Bible says when you've loved the least of these, you've done it unto me. It's praise. It's worship. When you celebrate His creation, bringing Him glory. You're worth celebrating. You're amazing. You're made in His image. He likes you. He's not just putting up with you, tolerating you. He absolutely likes you. He's wild about you. He thinks you're awesome. You're on his fridge. Your picture is on his fridge. He looks at you every day. That's my favorite son. That's my favorite daughter. Oh, I so love him. Gucci, Gucci. Oh, I just want to hug him and kiss him. He's still your dad. Still your father. You enter into the kingdom as a child. You might be manly and adult-like in front of your enemies, but in front of God, you're a child. Daddy, daddy, what's next? Hope, excitement. Oh, my God, what is going to happen today with you and I, daddy? The God of hope fills you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. You can't have hope without joy. You can't have excitement about the future. Something good's going to happen. Things are going to change if you don't have joy, because joy is a tool of hope. They go hand in hand. I have to become militant with joy. It's my weapon. The enemy's constantly assaulting you through the media. Bad is happening. Things are getting worse. It's darker. The economy is bad. Division. War, that president, that leader, this and that. Constantly, death. He's constantly trying to release depression, discouragement. That's his praise. That's the praise that the devil inhabits. And when you begin to go, oh, it's bad. Oh, world is coming to an end. Oh, man, it's difficult. Oh, that person, oh. He's inhabiting your praise. You're feeling the heaviness all around you. But God inside of you is wanting out. He wants to lift the environment. He wants to change your environment. He comes. Wherever God inhabits, the enemy can't stay. Remember the Valley of Baraka, 2 Chronicles 20? They had this enemy coming at them. They were afraid, and they cried out, and they fasted to the Lord. And the Lord's like, this is the strategy. Send the praisers out. Says as they begin to praise, the Lord turned the enemy on himself and killed them all off. They spent 3 days getting the loot. That word praise is halal. Let me tell you, when you're standing in front of your enemy, he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. What's the enemy still doing? You don't give a nice little, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh. It's halal. It's, oh, Jesus. And God goes, confusion in the enemy's camp. The enemy's defeated, and your breakthrough comes. Sometimes your best warfare is just to have a little bit of fun. It says in Ecclesiastes, kings drink for strength and not for drunkenness. I'm not just this laughing, goofy, fun, whatever person just to be laughing and goofy. I'm intentional with my joy. I'm intentional with my enjoyment. When I watch a football game, I'm intentional. I'm strengthening myself in that joy and that enjoyment. Because God likes us to enjoy our life. It's not just about a joy manifestation. It's about a joy language. It's about a joy lifestyle. But it's also the enjoyment of life. The enemy loves to steal our joy. The original curse was toil, which is joyless work. You can have a manifestation of joy, and you can have a praise encounter, but do you enjoy your work? Do you bring the joy of the Holy Spirit into the things, everything that you do? Toil steals the kingdom seed. In Matthew, it talks about how, you know, the farmer sowed the four seeds into the four different soils, and the one seed, the enemy comes and steals it away. That word for enemy, and I believe it's in Luke, is the evil one. Deliver us. Keep us from temptation, deliver us from the evil one. That word evil one is toiler. Deliver us from toil, joyless work. This joyless livelihood steals the kingdom seed of righteousness, peace, and joy. That God has accepted me, that brings me such peace and wholeness. I know I'm accepted. I'm not trying to gain my acceptance from people. I'm already accepted. He's already pleased with me. And that's where the joy comes from. Woo! The enemy tries to steal that through a joyless life. And enduring, I'm just putting it up with it until Jesus comes and rescues us and whisks us out of this dark world. You look at scriptures like Jesus, you know, for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, that word endure is not, I'm just holding on by the hair of my chinny chin chin. That word endure actually means joyful constancy. Who for the joy set before him was joyfully constant until it was finished, because he was looking at us. Oh yes, it's going to finish. I'm going to finish this. It's going to be done. My people and I are going to be one forever. He was joyful about it. Even in the pain and even in the suffering, he kept spilling out joy. I love the passage in 1 Peter where Peter is saying, you know what? If you're being persecuted, don't let it be because of some sort of criminalness or murdering or suffering. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Rejoice as inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You know, the only persecution you ought to be going through is the fact that you are so stinking joyful that it just ticks off the religious spirit. Religion is joylessness. Religion is going through the motions of tradition of Christianity without the revelation of the joy of what he actually did for you.
Come on!
It's doing the right thing without the revelation. It's going through principle-led. I'm going to fast. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, tie my shoes right. I'm going to do all of these kind of things because it's the right thing to do. Joylessness. If you are insulted, it's because of the name of Christ. You're blessed with the spirit of glory and God rests on you. That word glory has joy in its translation. It's because the spirit of joy rests on you. You know, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. We all love that prayer. I love that prayer. You know, the answer to the prayer for glory, the Lord says, okay, you want glory? I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Moses wanted glory. God said, okay, I'm going to let you see my goodness. And goodness is seen through thankful eyes. Thanks is a foundation of joy. You can laugh all you want, but if you don't have a thankful perspective, that's why the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. Because thanks is what heaven is made of. You enter into his, you know, gates with thanksgiving. You come into the revelation of God through thanks, and thanks is right within you. God is right within you. The Holy of Holies in you. As you start thanking, you're releasing God's presence. You get a perspective on your circumstances, God's perspective. Isaiah 6 says this, the angels, the cherubim are singing, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of the glory. From a heavenly perspective, all the angels see is glory. They don't see darkness, they don't see wars, they don't see difficulty. From heaven's perspective, all they see is glory. Oh, the whole earth is full of the glory. The glory is all around you all the time, but it says in Scripture, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. What's missing is your revelation of God working in all circumstances, everywhere you go, in your life, with you, everywhere, in every circumstance, if you can find Him. The glory of the Lord is the goodness of God, and the goodness of God is seen through a thankful heart. Thanks is a foundation of sustainable joy. You laugh, but you can't get joy over a circumstance. Your battle is to find what God is doing in your circumstance. Even what the enemy is meaning for evil, you've got to find what God is doing. Key for you is to keep your perspective on God. What's God doing in life? What's He doing in my job? What's He doing in my finances? What's He doing in my family? Remember Elijah, he goes up to the top of the mountain, he prays 7 times. He keeps sending his servant back. Go back, keep going back until you see a cloud. Until you can see something. Use your prophetic eyes until you see something. And finally he goes, oh, think there's a cloud. I think. What is Elijah prophesying? Rain's going to come. But until you can see that rain is coming, you can't have it. As soon as he sees it, Elijah, got it. Enough. It's enough. Go tell Ahab, you better get out of here. The rain's coming. Before you know it, Jesus has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus never looks at a circumstance like it's not enough. He has 5 loaves and bread. His disciples are freaking out because they don't know how heaven works. In the kingdom of God, you give away a piece of pie, you get 2 pieces in its place. That's why whether you have little or much, whether you're living in want or living in plenty, you can do everything through Christ who gives you strength. It's not a thing of, well, you're just going to barely make it. Yeah, you're going to do it, brother. Hold on. No, it's whether you have little or much, it's going to be in abundance. Because Christ is in you. If you can get the revelation of how to release how heaven works and functions in your environment, you'll have more than enough, whether it's little or much. I've seen my laundry soap just keep pouring out month after month, even though the thing was empty. God began to blow my mind in the kingdom key. You keep pouring. It doesn't matter if it's empty. You can keep coming out. There's a never-ending supply. That's basic. How in the kingdom it works. Yeah, we know that there's principles of stewardship where you work with something little by little, you increase it. That's a kingdom principle as well. But there's also this whole principle of thanks with the little. Jesus says in John 6:23, at the giving of thanks, the bread was multiplied. He lifts it up. Dad, ha 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 ha. Ah, thanks for this bread. Oh, it's so small. It's from a child. Oh, but it's perfect. Oh, just begin to give it out. Give it out. It'll multiply. Thanks, Dad, for this. Your battle is to keep your eyes fixed on what God is doing, not what the enemy is trying to get your eyes on. Remember the 10 lepers? 10 lepers had come to Jesus. I think it was Luke. Jesus sends them off. Luke 17. Jesus says, hey, go to the priest and you'll be healed. They all get healed, but only one comes back. It says he comes back crying loudly, giving praise to God, throwing himself at Jesus' feet. That sounds like halal, doesn't it? Comes back to Jesus going bonkers. Oh, Jesus! Oh, thank you so much! Woo! 9 of them just got their miracle and went on their way. Jesus says, where are the other 9? Oh, no one else will turn to me. He says, well, go. Your faith has made you well. You know what that word well is? That word well is sozo. The 9 got cleansed. But the 1 that came back, he got saved, healed, and delivered. He got the next level. Because the miracle is supposed to bring an increase. The 9 just got their miracle. They didn't see the revelation of God in it. They didn't give them thanks. So it stayed right there. God's miracles in your life weren't supposed to be so you go, okay, thanks God, let's see what happens the next time. You're supposed to, whoa, yeah, wow! The thanks for that's going to bring breakthrough to your finances. The thanks for that financial breakthrough is going to bring breakthrough to your relationships. As he goes from glory to glory, goodness to goodness, thanks to thanks. That's how God manifests. That's how God increases. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the small that's in here, because it's enough. Yeah. The oil will multiply. And if you don't have anything tangible to work with, you still have a testimony. Because the testimony has the same spirit on it that thanks has on it. Revelation says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, when you declare a testimony, you're declaring, do it again, God. Do it again. I remember being in a difficult circumstance, and one of many, But in this one circumstance, I was just feeling the pressure, the finance, the relationships, all that stuff, the weight of the passion. I was in my room. I wasn't feeling great. I wasn't feeling like praising. I was feeling depressed and discouraged and all that. But I knew I have to fight to gain the perspective again in this circumstance. I began to recount the testimonies. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you came through for me back then. You broke through. You brought provision back then. This, I recount the testimonies. I'm reminding myself. And as I begin to remind myself, then I begin to take those testimonies and I apply halal to them. So, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you for your testimony. I don't feel like it. It ain't feeling all wonderful. All I can feel is the enemy's oppression and heaviness on my shoulder. Oh, praise you, God. Woo! I didn't come away from that worship time feeling any better. But about a week later, I got a check in the mail, a large sum of money that took care of my bills and sent me to a nation. The Lord said, that check came from that praise. You have everything you have need of right now. You're not lacking in anything. Sometimes we'll pray for healing for somebody. Just release healing, release words of knowledge. Oftentimes I'll be in a building, release 30 words of knowledge, and one person will get a little bit better. I'll go, woo! Praise the Lord! It's here! Everyone else, oh, thanks anyways. Praise the Lord. Let's go home now. If you can see God, you can have God manifest. You can see the reality, but your job is to use your prophetic eyes more than just prophesying over someone. It's to see Him, what He's doing in every circumstance, to find the glory, the goodness, the thanks. That's the foundation of joy. That's where joy is sustainable. That's what the kingdom is made of. That's how expanse comes. That's how increase comes. Remember the men of the two men that in Luke 24, they were discouraged. Their faces were downcast and they were kept from recognizing Jesus. He's walking right with them. See, Jesus is always with you. He ain't going nowhere. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's not over there. He's in here. He's looking through your eyes going, man, I could do so much in this situation. I could do so much. You know, remember the disciples that were in the boat? They were freaking out. The storm was rising. Jesus was just sleeping. They were freaking out. Jesus said, come on, Jesus, come on. He wakes up, he rebukes the wind and the wave, and then he rebukes his disciples. Where was your faith? Well, many of us would have thought, oh, well, that was wonderful faith. They prayed, he answered, they stopped the storm. No, he's going, no. I wanted you to manifest that victory. Why did you have to get me up and do it? Christ is inside of you. He's going, man, I put all my power inside of you. You're lacking in nothing. I've given you all the divine power. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're the son of deity. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you. What are you doing about this? Yeah, we know it's God's power and everything with this, but why aren't you releasing it? You can cry out to God, God, help me, God, rescue me. And he eventually comes and says, hey, he brings the answer to your situation and rebukes you.
Hallelujah.
I remember I have a strong prayer ethic because of my upbringing, and I'm thankful for prayer. I love it. But back then, it was all about the ethic of prayer, not really about answer prayer. It was about how hard you prayed, not that you actually got prayers answered. Praise God, brother. He's a man of God. He prays 8 hours a day. I believe in prayer. I spend 4 hours every afternoon just praying for revival, for healings to break out, for salvation, for offerings. And that's the thing that you're supposed to do. I would pace my carpet in my sanctuary because I was trying to wear a hole into the ground because I knew that was all about the ethic of prayer. Oh, shang everybody in the revival, God, we gotta have power. We need healing. Zokaramatete Shabla. Oh, not one day I'm praying, the Lord says, stop, Keith. I want to teach you a different way of prayer. I want to teach you the prayer of thanks. I want you to start thanking me for what I'm doing in those four areas. All right, Lord, thank you so much. Last week, we're out at the park, so-and-so, they got healed in their foot, and they gave their life to Jesus. They started getting filled with the Spirit and laughing with joy. Oh, that was so good. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that we needed that provision, and that unexpected provision came. And oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for those couple souls that got saved there. Thank you for this. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. I'm in full-fledged revival. Whoa! I've never prayed for revival since. Because once you have something, you can't keep praying, but you have to learn how to grow it with thanks, with joy. Work it. Increase the kingdom. Kingdom is joy. Foundations of joy are thanks, testimony, halal, praise, celebration. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Continue to find joy over and over again in the Lord. Continue to find it always. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Thanks. Woo! Ha, 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 ha. And you know the side benefit of it is when you're laughing, God's laughing through you. It says he laughs at his enemies and then he rebukes them. And when you begin to release the laughter, the joy of God, the celebration, the thanks, you rebuke discouragement, depression, hopelessness, all those things, and God inhabits that and he crushes your enemies. You know, we were talking earlier about the fire. The fire is going to cover the earth, and I believe that was a right-on prophecy. But you know, fire cannot sustain itself without oil. The torches that they use in the, you know, in the Bible, as you know, the five virgins that had the oil, and the five that didn't. The ones that had to go and get, you know, get some oil, they didn't have the ability to keep the fire going because they didn't have joy. They didn't have oil. Oil is the sustainability of the passion and the fire of God's desire to get the kingdom of God to all the earth. You won't be able to sustain what God has put in your heart over all the earth. Your destiny, your calling, all those things, the passions, the things that you're burning about, the fire of God inside of you, unless you learn how to develop a culture of joy in your life. Because that without joy, you're going to burn out. God, we got to see souls, we got to see souls, we got to see souls. No, I don't want to go out to see souls anymore. When are we going to see souls? You guys doing all right?
Yes.
Not sure if you're awake or not this morning. Whoa. I'm a fiery, passionate, kingdom come, coming to rub it in to get out person. Man, if you don't have the joy, you become serious. You become heavy about circumstances. Everything is such a burden. Everything becomes, oh, this issue and that issue. You know, God starts showing you the world. I mean, I have a prayer ethic for the nations. I know God will give me any nation that I pray for. So I know that until I get his heart for the nation, I won't get it. So I pray for the nation. I want every one of them. I want to be a part of enjoying what God's doing in every nation. But when you start getting your heart around the nation, you start seeing the brokenness and the hurts and the issues and all of that. And before you know it, you can't pray anymore because it's too heavy. The Lord will say, it's not yours. Come on, lift it up. Rejoice. I showed you a little bit of a taste. I gave you my heart for that. Now give it to me. Rejoice. Celebrate. I am good. I'm the one that already solved all the problems of every nation. I'm inside of you. Let me do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Turn to your neighbor and laugh and say, man, that's a good day. You know, if you grew up in church like myself, joy was not a big part of that culture. A holy, you know, we need to be holy in the house of God, and we need to be serious. No laughter. Keep all the kids in line. Keep everything in orderly. Keep look orderly, look dignified.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Holy Spirit. I shared this last night in Nehemiah 8:10. The people were mourning after they heard the word of God and they were convicted. They realized they'd fallen short of the word of God. The Lord, through the prophet, said, "Don't weep, don't mourn. This is a holy day." You ever see holiness as joy? God is holy. He's the most joyful God you've ever seen. There's none like Him. And He's inside of you. He wants you to manifest. Be daddy to people. Can't be daddy to people if you don't have a revelation of daddy's face, His hand rejoicing over you. That's why sometimes you have to be the dad that people will never be able to see. You have to manifest God's pleasure over people that are broken, beaten down, and don't realize how valuable they are. You have to look in their eyes and let them see God's love for them. I'm so proud of you. Oh, I'm rooting for you. Keep getting up. Keep going for it again. You're doing all right. You're going to make it. Remember the prodigal son? He was really messed it up. He was feeling unworthy. I'm not even worthy to be a son anymore. And he comes home. He says, "I'll just say this unworthiness thing. And you know, I'm just going to be your servant." He gets from a distance and the father sees him. And this is Jesus talking about his dad. The father sees him. Oh! Oh! There they are! My boy! Woo! Yeah! Woo! He's a wild one. Yeah! We got to celebrate them. Well, Dad, I'm so unworthy. Forget that. Let's throw on the royalty on them again. New royalty. Let's have a party. We're so glad you're home. Yoo-hoo. And the religious spirit through the older brother is so ticked off. Why could he be rejoicing over this guy that's not even worthy? He's getting all this blessing and he hasn't even been working so hard like I've been working. The father looks at him like a son too. Bound down by religion. Son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate this, son. Ha ha ha. You want to transform culture? You want to see the mountains of this world become the mountains of our God? Those who have the most joy and hope in this season will have the most influence. It's hope and joy is our kingdom manifestation. That's how the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. The kingdom of our God is joy, hope, peace, love, wholeness. His power to bring breakthrough into circumstances that seem like they have no hope. Turn to your neighbor and say, things are getting better. So, permission granted to have joy in the church. To have joy as a lifestyle. Ha, 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 ha. I was teaching about joy in a church, which was not used to it. I was just teaching the leadership team. We're just talking about the power of joy. And they weren't getting it. They were having a hard time. A couple of them were really having a hard time. They were not seeing that God was a God of joy. So I went into this just going through this conversation, and this lady walks into the room and she's weeping. She's just gotten word from her doctor that she has cancer. And everybody immediately turns to tears with her and beginning to console her, which I'm okay with. We mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And start praying a prayer, but it has no power on it. As you know, a prayer of sympathy will never get anyone healed. A prayer of feeling sorry for where someone's at won't get them healed. Compassion always heals, but sympathy will keep someone in their same spot. Your job is not to pray a sympathy prayer, but your job is to turn sympathy into compassion, destroy the work of the devil out of a heart of love for that person. So everyone was mourning, they were around her, and I just felt like the Lord said, just wait. So I waited a few minutes while they prayed over her and consoled her. And then I said, you mind if I pray? I didn't say anything. I just started going, ah! Woo! And she starts getting so hot. You start sweating bullets. And this room is the coldest room in the whole building that I have to have a sweater on to stay warm in there. And it's cold. And all of a sudden, it's getting hot. And I'm laughing. I'm not saying anything. She's got this lump on her neck, and it just begins to disappear. She began to have this encounter with Jesus. It was no serious prayer. It was no technique. No, it was, it's not insensitivity. It's perfect breakthrough. It offends religion, and religion agrees with death. Religion is death. It's the principles outside of the relationship of Jesus. Jesus finished the work. That's where the joy comes from. It's the glad gospel. It's the happy gospel. It's the good news. When he said it's finished, it was all done. Performance was done. The law was completed. There was no more to do except for you to get to release the goodies everywhere you go. That God is good. That's the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not something to make me feel better. They're a grace gift from God for me to get out to people and let people know God loves them, died for them, cares about them, knows them, was concerned about them, wants to heal them, knows things about their life is good. It's the glad gospel. It's the happy gospel. It's not, happy, everything's okay. And when not everything's okay, it's all right to have, things are going tough. It's all right to say, you know what, it has been a tough season. We're not denying the fact that we're going through circumstances. We're not saying we're not going to have trials and temptations. But neither are we prophesying that that's God's will for you to stay in that trial. Yeah, you'll have trials and temptations. They're part of life. We all go through them, but what are you going to do about it? Yeah. How are you going to find the glory of God in that difficulty and bring the breakthrough of heaven into that situation and rejoice despite the fact? I'm not rejoicing just because I know the ability of it to transform God. It's like I'm rejoicing because He's so good and then He blesses me anyways. My eyes are fixed on Him. He inhabits that praise. He's already in me, but He begins to manifest out. His glory begins to show up. Glorious, that word glorious, joy. Approach the throne of grace in that word grace is joy. Thanks. Approach the throne of joy and thanks. Oh, celebration. There's constant worship going around the throne. People are just going ballistic 24 hours a day. The elders with these long beards, they're just filled with the glory. And they're overwhelmed with God. They keep throwing their crowns. Whoa, whoa, Jesus, whoa. You're sitting in that glory right now. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. All the glories, you're in it right now. It's in you. Heaven's in you. Heaven's not here or there. Heaven is within. You're up there. Heaven's in you. It's this wonderful mystery. Christ in you. You in Christ, everywhere you go. There's no death in heaven. There's no death in you. Ha, 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 ha. You have to learn how to release it into your circumstances. What is God doing in my circumstance? What is God doing in my failing marriage or my prodigal sons, daughters? In my finances, in my dreams, in the prophetic words that don't seem to be coming to pass. Well, what is he doing to bring those to pass? Can I see his goodness in those? Can I find what he's doing? And can I celebrate around that? Go ballistic around it, his faithfulness.
Whoa.
It's in the celebration, is the release, is the openness, is the multiplication. Want to pray, I want to release some words of knowledge before we take our little... whatever that thing's called, tea. We don't do tea in America. I love it though. I love being a part of other cultures. You know the story, the two men that Jesus went with them. They were kept from recognizing him. Jesus is right with you right now. I remember I was praying for someone to be healed, and then Lord healed them, and then the next moment I was worrying about my finances, and the Lord said, where did I go? But you can have circumstances in your life, you're not recognizing God's moving in it. He's working for your benefit. We're not saying every circumstance is God, but he's going to bring good even out of the bad. He's going to redeem all things. He thought you'd enjoy your life. He thought it'd be a wonderful adventure for you to have to partner with him in those impossible circumstances. He wants you to live an impossible life, to step into uncomfortable circumstances. He wants you to be pushing the boundaries, and he wants you to bring them in. He thought it'd be a great adventure, not something to worry you, to depress you, to discourage you, to make you afraid, to make you hopeless. He thought, wow, I hope my people will just get that revelation that I'm with them and we can do this together, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think you like traveling to the nations, Keith. I think you'd enjoy with your wife and bring your kids along and they love it, and you'd get to be around some wonderful people and you'd get to do some wonderful things with me, and that would just be a great job. I think it'd be fun for you. I think you'd rejoice in it. I think it'd be a great adventure to figure out how to get me into those circumstances. How to expand my kingdom. It's in difficult situations. When you're feeling the pressure, when you're feeling the resistance, when you're feeling all of those kind of things, I think you can handle that. And that stuff's pressing in on you. I thought you would rise up in joy and you'd bust out of that and you'd release my anointing, it'd spill out, it'd break through resistance, it'd bring revival, it'd bring open heaven. I thought, man, I put a warrior inside of you, King.
Come on.
Nothing is impossible. How far, Keith, can you take that in this life? How much of my kingdom can you get into this earth on this side of heaven? How much of glory can you get manifested on the earth before your body is released into heaven? Hey, I'm believing I'm one of the remainers. I'm pushing for that glory to manifest, transform my lowly body until it's carrying the light and the glory of God, and and the fullness of death has been destroyed even in the physical realm. Healing is a manifestation of that. That's the start. We're healing bodies. What's going to happen when bodies start living 150, 200 years? Because the glory is so much on them, they just can't die anymore. They just get rejuvenated. You've got the spring of youth inside of you. The well of living water. The more joy you get, the more young you're going to get. Scientists have proven, doctors have proven that joy heals cancer. Joy heals things. A good laugh will do good for you. It's medicine. It literally is. Breaks ulcers. It breaks heaviness. A lot of physical ailments and bodies can be simply healed through joy, through laughter. And if you got a revelation that God the healer has got the joy, then you're going to get a double dose. These guys were depressed. They couldn't recognize Jesus in their midst. He was gracious, he's patient, he's so good to us, because we all have those places that get us down. We have, sometimes it takes a while for him us to see him in those things, but as we go along, we get quicker and quicker to break out of those. That's the goal of this, to recognize him quicker and quicker, so we don't let that just take the life out of us in those circumstances. There are tough circumstances. I've been under some tough ones, even lately. They have kicked my behind. I have vexed over them, relationships and people and family and things that we're going after. And it is just, it's not a piece of cake. And I'm okay to be passionately frustrated about something for a while, but I've got to eventually find God's goodness in that circumstance and breakthrough, find the breakthrough. Jesus was patiently talking to them, explaining to them what he had to do. It says in verses 30, they finally got to this place, and the two disciples said, "Oh, you got to eat with us." And he was at the table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Jesus is always with you. But when you begin to thank him in your circumstance, then your eyes can get open to see that he really is working on your behalf. He really is good, and that's the breakthrough. That's where hope comes back in. Oh, things are changing. Things are getting better. And you grab onto that thing, even if it's so small, the cloud, in a circumstance, it seems like you're so far for this relationship to be restored, but you grab onto what is going on, and you refuse to focus on what is not going on. You begin to rejoice over it. And you can go from glory to glory, harvest to harvest. You can be sitting right next to someone that there's always a cloud over them, like Eeyore. You know, Eeyore and Tigger. Oh, nothing good is happening to me. Life is difficult. The rain is, the depression is always over me. Nothing's going to change. And then Tigger, in the same atmosphere, boing, 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 bad circumstances, boing, boing, difficulties. Nothing's going to get better. You both make it to heaven because it's by his grace. But would you want to be this or that? Going from glory to glory with childlike faith, with celebrating his goodness. Someone in this place have a left hand problem. Who's got it? Just stand up. You got the left hand problem? Okay. Anybody else? What about a bottom of left foot? Foot problem? Come on, stand up. Why don't you stand up? God's released the healing anointing you right now. We're going to release that joy inside of us over this. These are words of knowledge from my intercessors back in America. It's about 2 in the morning right now for them, and they're with us right now, praying for you. My head intercessor got a concussion last week, was knocked out unconscious when he was laughing and praying over something. Got sent to the hospital. Actually, it was in Bethel. Got sent to the hospital. Has had a brain bleeding for over a week. But here's, he's with us now, getting restored. Releasing words of knowledge. Praying. Who's got the right hip problem? Right hip problem. Go ahead and stand. I think it's been with you for a while. You have anything, Gary? Jaw. Who's got the joy problem? Jaw problem. Joy problem. Yeah. Jaw problem. Who's got the jaw problem? Clenching or tightness or whatever it is. Aha. Uh-huh. Back of head shooting down. Back of head. Who's got the back of head problem? You're a pain in the neck. I mean. I see someone's spine too. You got someone with a spine problem. I don't know if it's whatever it is, but it's a spine directly. Who's got an issue with the spine? Just go ahead and stand on up if you can. Ah, thank you, Daddy. And I see something with the eyes. It's like a cloudy eyes or something like that. Your eyes are have issues. There's a murkiness or there's something along those lines. Shortness of breath in the lungs. Pressure in the heart. Ha, 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 ha. Whoa, Shaka Bala Dunda. Whoa. Anything else? Any of our team here have any words of knowledge? Anybody have words of knowledge here? For healing, you're feeling something right now. You're all a part of the team, by the way, because you're all full-time ministers. Some are paid for it, and some are in other arenas, bringing it. All right, well, let's start with that. What do you think we're going to release over these things? I want just one or two of you to get around each one of these people. Just stand with them. Listen, I don't want you to go into any prayer. Stop. Don't pray yet. Just get next to them. Put your hand on them or on your shoulder or something. Okay, someone with an elbow problem. Who's got the elbow problem? Elbow problem? Who's got the elbow problem? Shoulder? You have a shoulder problem? Hey, shoulder works. God wants to heal that too. You got the elbow problem? Okay. Shoulder. Okay. Couple shoulders. Who's got the elbow problem? All right. If you got shoulder, we got a lot of shoulders going on here. We released the word of knowledge for elbows, and a lot of shoulders came out. All right. Well, there's a shoulder one. Let's put someone's hand on that one. The Lord's going to heal that. That has to do directly with praise right there. A garment of praise on your shoulders instead of heaviness. So listen, I don't want you to close your eyes with that person. I don't want you to get into any serious prayer. You're not going to ask God to heal them because God has already took care of the healing at the cross. And He's inside of you. He's already, you know, by His stripes, you're already healed. So we're just going to release the revelation of joy over them. So listen, you can put your hand on the part of the body that needs it if it's appropriate. Put your hand on it. I want you just to start laughing and rejoicing over them. And I want you that are getting prayed for to laugh and rejoice too. Ha, 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 ha. And listen, we're looking for the one little small thing that the Lord is doing, even if it's not big. Ha, 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 ha. Someone with a wrist problem. The Lord's healing your wrist right now too. See the wrist pain here. Ha, 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 ha.